IVM. The year is 1964. The place is Uttar Pradesh. Keshav Singh writes an article criticizing a sitting MLA. Pretty routine, I would say. But the UP speaker issues an arrest warrant and Keshav Singh is sent to prison for 7 days. What is going on? Can the fundamental right to expression be subordinated by legislative privileges? Hello and welcome to The Longest Constitution. My name is Priya Mirza. And every week we look into how the Constitution shapes our lives. And in each episode, we unravel a few stories to get a better sense of constitutional politics. And this season is about work, where we look at all sorts of work, from manual scavengers to the Prime Minister. Oh, the present one. He's on the show today, sort of. And through these stories, we examine what we can get away with and what we can't get away with. And in the last episode, we saw that Jaya Bachchan could not get away from being disqualified for holding an office of profit. And she was disqualified as a member of the Rajya Sabha on account of her appointment as the chairperson of the UP Film Council. Khair, aage badhte hain. Aaj hum nazar dalenge mananiya Pradhan Mantri Narendra Modi pe, jab wo Gujarat ke Mukhya Mantri the. Par usse pehle thoda sa constitution par gaur bhi karenge. We are also exploring the fundamental right to expression. That's Article 19, which is a really broad article which grants several rights, from the right to livelihood to the freedom of expression to the right to movement. So yeah, our first story is in Gujarat. The year is 2010 and the then Chief Minister of Gujarat, Narendra Modi and his team have a brilliant idea, which is let's make voting mandatory in local bodies elections, that's panchayat and municipal elections. Now we've seen how ironically the qualifications at the panchayat and municipal level are higher in a few states. So in Chhattisgarh, having a bathroom at home is a qualification, while in Maharashtra, a candidate for a local election cannot have more than 2 children, amongst other things. And that is a disservice to the idea of empowering local bodies. And not only because these legislative assemblies have imposed all sorts of barriers to be elected as a local representative, while they themselves are not subjected to the same level of scrutiny. Not fair, guys. But Gujarat. Gujarat went one step ahead. Under this law framed by the Gujarat Legislative Assembly, those who did not vote would be penalized. It allowed the State Election Commission to declare an absent voter as defaulter. Eeps. Voting as compulsory? What an idea, Sergi. So the bill was passed in 2011 and was sent for the governor's nod. But the sensible governor rightly pointed out that voting compulsorily is a violation of the fundamental right to expression, where if there is no choice, then it cannot be freedom. And that's what the checks and balances are in our constitutional structures of governance. But what did the Gujarat Legislative Assembly do? Rather than pay attention to the objection of the governor, they just waited for a more compliant governor to take position. Yeah, just frighten people. That's what the Gujarat model is. We will intimidate people by passing scary and unconstitutional laws, tried and tested in Gujarat and now unleashed on the rest of the country. Now let's get back to UP, where under Article 194 of the Constitution, legislative assemblies' privileges lie in controlling publications. And under that privilege, Keshav Singh was packed off to jail. Crazy. But wait, it gets crazier. Keshav Singh's lawyer approached the Lucknow bench of the Allahabad High Court through a writ of habeas corpus to order his release. A 2-judge bench heard the matter and directed that he be released. However, the UP Legislative Assembly just scoffed. Ha! Judges ki himmat ki hamare ilake mein taang udayenge? The UP Assembly was not to be outdone. So they issued a fresh notice of breach of privileges to the 2 judges, Keshav Singh and his lawyer, again for breach of privilege. Oof! So finally, Keshav Singh and his lawyers approached the Allahabad bench where the matter was heard by 28 judges. Whoa. Now, this was a pressing, grave matter. And if the precedent was established that speakers of assemblies could go around issuing arrest warrants for lawyers and judges, that would hugely threaten the balance of power. And that's why the situation was considered grave enough for the union government to seek an advisory opinion from the Supreme Court under Article 143, Part 1. All of this, by the way, falls under the category of legislative practices and procedures. So sexy. That's what turns academics on and not other stuff. Okay, our third story today is also about the skewed nature of local governance, about the fifth schedule and the constitutional provision and assurance to schedule tribes to their land. So scheduled tribes, like other bureaucratic terms like OBCs or scheduled caste, is not a felt or lived identity. Nobody wakes up feeling like a scheduled tribe. And within that uninspiring term, there are a rich set of diverse and ignored people. For example, the Chenchus of Andhra Pradesh, who lived by hunting with their bows and arrows, gathered wild fruits and dig for edible roots, and according to anthropologists, may well be the most archaic human stratum of South Asia. Wow. Now, these guys are the original ecologically sustainable people without shopping at Nicobar, and yet their forests, their homes are threatened by private mining projects, stainless steel and cement plants, wildlife sanctuaries, hydropower projects, factories, and tourism projects, because their homes are also homes to bauxite, calcite, coal, iron ore, manganese, teak, and other priceless forest produce. So the Panchayat Extension to Scheduled Areas Act 1996, PISA, grants powers for natural resource management and self-government to tribal communities. That's great. But in 1993, that's much before the act, Samatha, an NGO, found that the state, that's Andhra Pradesh government, was happily giving mining leases over acres and acres of rich forest and green lands to non-tribals. So this NGO filed a petition in the court challenging the use of tribal land by non-tribals. So what happened in Gujarat? Jahan vote dalna anivarya banaya gaya. The High Court came to its rescue. Following a PIL filed by a lawyer in the Gujarat High Court, Acting Chief Justice Jayant Patel and Justice J.B. Pardiwala admitted the petition and then put a stay on the implementation of mandatory voting in municipal and panchayat polls. Shukra that this odious, undemocratic, unconstitutional law was dust binned. Meanwhile, in Samatha versus State of Andhra Pradesh 1997, the Supreme Court admitted that while there is no prohibition on the transfer of land itself, the produce of these lands are for the tribals. And that even if these areas are mined, the produce must be shared with the tribals. And this was a landmark judgment, by the way. Meanwhile, in the Keshav Singh case, the Supreme Court of India held that the powers, privileges, and immunities of legislative bodies in India were not absolute and that they cannot be greater than the power of the courts, putting a firm end to the contest between the legislature and the judiciary. So today's takeaway is that the first, local governance in India is crippled by unfair regulations over local representatives. And at least in the case of Gujarat, one of these was struck down. The second, the Keshav Singh case demonstrates how dangerous the absence of the codification of the privileges of legislators could be and why the judiciary needed to step in to close the matter. And lastly, the biggest fight is over land. Over decades, the constitutional rights of the tribals over their land has been nibbled away by our very own Indian state. Tribal people constitute 55% of the total displaced population in India, without a legal ownership to the land they inhabit, and that leaves them with very few options. I hope you like this show. If you have questions or comments, please send them in on Twitter, where I tweet at FundamentallyP, or on Instagram, The Longest Constitution. Until next time, this is me, Priya Mirza, signing out.